What's going on, y'all? Jesus with the Corpus Christi Originals. All right, so episode 31 features Eric Knowles. Eric Knowles is part of the Article 15 comedy tour, and they're going to be touring the VFWs starting in Texas, specifically starting in Corpus Christi, Texas. It's a special honor for us, you guys. Eric is a comedian. He's a veteran himself from the Marine Corps. He was a helicopter mechanic. He's a stand-up comedian. So we talk about veteran issues, specifically suicide. We talk a little bit about himself, about his career, and what he's doing for the community and for the veterans in our community. All right, man. Welcome to the show. I appreciate you being on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Dude, that's awesome. All right. So you won the World Series of comedy international, right?
You've been
a comedian for 16 years.
Yeah,
somewhere like that. All right.
I stopped counting. Yeah,
you stopped counting. All right. So when you first got into it, what made you like actually, I guess, take interest into getting into it?
Well, I've always been like, as a kid, I was always the funny kid, the class clown, cutting up in class. But when I realized that. You know, maybe this might be my calling was when I was in the Marine Corps. You know, I got in a lot of trouble kind of for the same reasons in the Marine Corps. I was always cutting up and messing around. And one time my sergeant thought it would be funny to sign me up for the squadron talent show. He signed me up as a comedian without even telling me. He's like, "Oh, you think you're funny and you like to make everybody laugh. So wow. I signed you up." And I couldn't back down. So I had to do it. And I ended up winning I won the talent show just by roasting my whole chain of command. And after that, people started encouraging me, like, "Knowles, you should do that, man. Like, you should figure it out." And it was a few years later, couple of years after I got out of the military, that I started doing open mics and just never looked back.
Wow, bro. So when you got out of the military, that's when you started. So it wasn't really before the military. And you were about, what, 19 or 20? Or you were in the military? Uh-huh.
I was like 20. I was probably 23 the first time I did it. I did kind of do stand-up while I was in the military, just like in the barracks for my friends. I didn't really understand what I was doing. But looking back, it was like, yeah, I had a regular show. Like every Friday night, people would come by my room, and I had a little karaoke machine, microphone. And I would just crack jokes and it was like I was writing jokes and preparing all week, you know, It was kind of like my own little show.
Oh, so you were actually preparing to perform in front of your friends?
Yeah. Wow, yeah. I write down things that are funny that happened throughout the week or things that I thought of. I didn't realize it, but I was being a comedian kind of.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you didn't realize it at the time, but you realized it later on as you kind of decided to make it into a career?
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. After I started learning the business and learning how to do stand up and how to write material, it kind of hit me like, oh, I've kind of been doing this my whole life, really. Even in grade school, I would like try to come up with funny stuff to do in front of the class. And
class clown came natural. That's cool, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. So your chops were created by practicing in front of others, right?
Yeah.
So you still do that today then, right? To try to develop material?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all of my material comes from personal experience. Like 99% of it, for sure. Nice. My act, you know, I have about an hour act that I do. I have more material than that, but most people only want to hear about an hour. But it's kind of divided into thirds where the first third of it is about parenting and raising kids and just the things that I'm going through. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people can relate to that, you know, everybody has kids or was a kid.
Yeah.
I talk about being a stepdad and how it's different than being a regular dad. And that's something a lot of people can relate to. And the next half of my act or third of my act is kind of about politics. And I know you're not supposed to talk about politics, so that's really what it's about. It's about how we're not supposed to talk about it anymore. And just the difference of, like, we used to be a country that could take a joke, and now, like, things are real tense, you know? So it's kind of like I walk the line of talking politics, but without picking a side or making anybody mad.
Yeah, oh, that's funny.
Yeah, and the third part of my act is I probably have about 20 minutes just on about my time in the Marine Corps and all the shenanigans that I got into and just kind of my thoughts on it and everything. And that's what people really love.
Oh, yeah, for sure, bro. Yeah, so you mentioned, I was watching your TikTok. You got a TikTok, and you were saying how you like to perform for the military personnel, I guess, instead of like the actual. Yeah, so what's the difference there? Is there a difference or?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I've gotten to entertain the troops quite a bit in my career. It's kind of become like my niche, I guess. I've been asked to go entertain the troops overseas. So I like to say I've got four tours in the Middle East. And I did two tours as a Marine, and I've been back to do two comedy tours to the Middle East, so, you know, all over Iraq and Afghanistan and all through the Middle East with Armed Forces Entertainment. And I formed a group called the Veterans of Comedy. And we're like a group that we go entertain the troops, and we do fundraisers to raise awareness for veterans. And I just love those audiences because, like, I don't know, I guess I just connect with them and they connect with me. Like, they get it. Military folks kind of use humor as a defense mechanism to get us through like trauma and just all the bull crap that we had to put up with and the strange, stupid things we had to do. Mm-hmm. You know, we were always laughing our way through it, kind of whistling through the graveyard. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of become my sense of humor. And that's why I love the military. And plus, you know, I just I really have a special place in my heart for our veterans, you know, because I know the things that they've gone through and the sacrifices that they've made. And I don't want to just perform for them. I also like performing for civilians and people who haven't been in the military to be able to spread that awareness of what it's like to be a veteran and the things that we went through and some of the issues that veterans struggle with today.
Mm, for sure, man. Wow.
Yeah.
So the main issue would be what? Suicide, would you say?
Well, that's the biggest one. Yeah. Suicide awareness. You know, the suicide rate among veterans is higher than any other group that I'm aware of. The last figure that I heard was 22 a day, which is almost one every hour. So by the time we finish this podcast, we'll have lost another veteran to suicide, which is just an astonishing statistic.
Yes, it is.
And I feel like a lot of that has to do with the fact that veterans don't feel like there's anybody that will understand. Mm. So it's important to me that veterans stick together and that we help each other, because civilian doctors and psychologists and people that, you know, they really have a good place in their heart. They want to help, but they just don't have the experience, or maybe they do, but it's hard for us to trust them that they understand, because what we went through and the things that we did are not the same as, mm-hmm. you know, what a firefighter might have gone through or whatever, you know, not to diminish those things, but
yeah.
And that's really why, that's another reason why I started this comedy tour that I'm on, the Article 15 comedy tour. We're going to VFWs because those are open to the public. That'll attract the audience that I want, the military and the veterans, but also civilians can come. So, you know, we're encouraging the veterans that are coming to the show to bring in civilian people so that they can kind of have a peek into our lives and kind of a backstage view of where we come from and what we're going through. And also they can learn about their local VFW and its missions and the things that they're doing for their local communities. Because that's where the real healing is going to happen. It's not going to come down from the president.
Wow. So definitely,
you know, have a grassroots effort.
Yes, for sure. Like, that's where it's got to start, man. Because, I mean, it's got to start from the bottom up.
Kind of deep, huh? Kind of deep for a comedian.
No, man. No, dude, for real. Like, I think comedians have to be deep, bro. Like, I mean, you got to have stuff to laugh at. You know what I mean?
Well, we are.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You got to have stuff to laugh at. And, dude, your stuff is funny, too, bro. Like, golly, your stuff is funny. like the cream corn joke. And I've been watching this show. Yeah, the cream corn joke about like was it 1, 2, 3, 4 or whatever, Marine Corps, but you were saying cream corn. Give me some more.
We used to run around 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. But instead of saying Marine Corps, I'd be saying cream corn.
Cream corn. Yeah. So where in Texas are you from, man?
Yeah. I live near Beaumont, the Beaumont area, southeast Texas, almost Louisiana. But I'm still like almost an hour away from Beaumont. That's just the biggest nearest city. But I live out in the woods with my wife and my kids. And on the weekends, that's how it is for real. But on the weekends, you know, I get on a plane and I go all over the country to comedy clubs and military bases, casinos, wherever I can get booked. And I'm just living this dream as a stand-up comedian, making it happen for my kids.
No, that's awesome. So that's your full-time gig.
Yeah, that's all I got right now. Yeah.
Yo, dude, congrats, man. That's awesome, dude.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, for sure, man. I love comedians. So you mentioned your family. I know you have some jokes about being a dad, being a stepdad. What's the difference there?
Oh, man. Well, being a stepdad, like, people don't understand how hard that is. Like, we're serving our country just by raising kids that we didn't even make and not hitting them. You know, like, it's a tough job, you know. It's tough raising kids who know that you're not supposed to hit them, you know, like, we don't even have the threat, you know, like,
yeah,
I still sometimes, like, I don't know, you know, I'm a real father too. I have biological kids, so I've seen the difference. Like, my kids call me dad. They respect me, you know, they say yes, sir. And the stepkids say yes, sir. And all of that too. But like they call me Eric. You know, it's just like that little, they call it a step down or a stepdad because it's like a step down, you know, in respect. It's like, okay, Eric. I'm like, ugh. Like, I don't even like how he said my name. Like, Eric. Like, what the? Ugh. He put some stank on it, you know?
Or they'll be like, oh, your dad's talking to you. Or like to make fun, to make, because we used to do that too. Like if you have a stepdad or an uncle or whatever.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, oh, your dad's calling you. You know what I mean? Like, no, it's not my dad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's funny, bro. Yeah, a lot of people in Corpus can definitely relate. I can. I mean, my dad had custody of my brother and I, and I had a stepmom instead of a stepdad, which is kind of unordinary because it's more stepdads. Stepmoms, right. I would say. I mean, I don't know. But definitely can relate to that, man. That's awesome, dude.
No, it's the same with my kids because their mom is remarried, so they have a stepmom over at my house and a stepdad over there. And my wife now, she has kids from a previous marriage, so they have a real mom and a stepdad. It's like a big Brady Bunch, you know. And that's pretty common these days. We're all just trying to figure out how to make it work, you know?
Mm. Yes, sir. So they haven't gone to work yet. You ain't put them to work yet?
No, not yet. I'm trying. Like, I got the two boys are 11, and they're at the age where, you know, I'm trying to get them to learn how to do work. And like, I have this weed eater I'm trying to fix, and I want to teach them how to do it with me. I'm waiting on parts to come in. So that's my next project with them. But they'd rather be inside playing the Xbox and stuff, man. It's tough with all this technology. It's hard to compete against that as a dad. We let them have an hour of Wi-Fi a day if they finish their chores. You know? Like, yeah, we're mean, dude.
only an hour, bro?
That's it. That's all they need, man. Too much anyway.
That's cool, man. So did you know what you were signing up for before you became a stepdad?
I'm old school, man. Like, and it's tough, like, being a kid of the 80s, you know, in the 90s growing up. Because, like kids, you know, I'm not really for, like, spanking kids, like, whipping them and all of that, you know. But I did come from the time period where that was the cool thing. Like, growing up in Texas in the 1980s, when I was a kid, like, I was on my best behavior all the time, not because my mom or my dad might spank me, but because anybody could. Like, it was acceptable that anybody could do it. You know, like if I'm at somebody else's house, like I got my butt whipped with a belt one time by my friend's dad at his house. And he called my dad right in front of me. He's like, Wayne, I got your boy here. I just had to whip his butt. You know, and my dad's like, send him home. I'm going to tear him up when he gets here. Like, they didn't even ask questions, you know?
Yo, wow, dude.
I'm not trying to recreate that world for my kids, because I understand that it's not the same and times have changed. And that's really not the answer, really. But I'm just saying it's hard to figure out this new style of parenting, this softer, kinder style of parenting where, like,
yeah, man.
Kids are allowed to, my kids don't talk back, but like they answer back, you know, like you tell them to do something and it's like, oh yeah, I am. And I'm like, I don't like that. Like,
yeah,
don't say I am. How about yes, sir? How about just like, oh, I already know. They already know everything. That's what kids today think. They think they know everything. Oh, I know. Oh, yeah, I know. Like, you don't know nothing, dude.
When they say I know, you know, they're really saying, yeah, I didn't know.
They don't know. Oh, yeah. Man.
That's funny, man. Yeah, Michael Sanchez, he looks like another comedian out here. He says, yeah, 1 hour of information, that's it. Use your imagination for the rest.
LOL. Yeah, that's my homie. He's on the tour with me. He's on the Article 15 comedy tour with me. Yeah, yeah.
Shout out, man. Hell yeah. Michael Sanchez, bro.
What's up, awesome. Michael?
So he's a you guys are veterans? You and the other two guys that are on Article 15 comedy tour?
Yep, I was in the Marine Corps. Michael, he was an Army guy, and Orlando is Air Force. Two Charms, they call him. Yeah, yeah.
Two Charms?
Yeah, that's his like his stage name. He's also a rapper, so he's like a rapper and a comedian. Super funny dude, very talented. Nice. Yeah, there he is on the left on my flyer there. Yeah, man, I've got an awesome lineup of comedians here. These dudes are killers, man.
Dude, awesome.
It's Mike. Go ahead.
No, and I seen like, so I was looking at the page, Article 15, which y'all have one on Facebook, and the very first few flyers, it had like 3 dates, and then now it's like 6 dates, and it keeps, you keep adding more on, dude. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, now we're up to 8 dates, and we got 3 more in the pipeline of people that want us to come. We've had requests from all over the country. I got people in Colorado Springs and North Dakota and Little Rock. They're like, hey, we want you to come out here. And I'm like, hey, maybe, but like, let me see if this thing works in Texas first, you know, like,
dude, bro, man. So how's the turnout been? Like, I mean, how's it been for you guys?
Well, we haven't had our first show yet. Our first show is in Corpus in Cal Allen at October 7th at the VFW. I think it's VFW post 3837.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. 3837, 12030 Leopard Street, Corpus Christi, Texas. Kind of, it's more kind of in Annaville. You like the locals would kind of know it as Annaville, Cal Allen area, but yeah, it's Annaville. They know where that's at. It's on Leopard, before you get to Cal Allen near the, I think it's kind of near the fire station or before there. I'm not sure if you guys know.
Believe it. And if y'all want information on that, we just got our website live last night. Excuse me. So you can go to article15comedy.com. And, so do you understand the reason why we're calling it Article 15? I wonder if everybody gets that.
No, I
know that veterans understand that.
No, I was going to ask you that. What is it?
So, all right, yeah. So, in the military, when you get in trouble and you you get your rank taken away, they charge you with Article 15.
Okay.
And that's something that I became very familiar with when I was in. I got charged with Article 15. I lost because, like I said, I was always cutting up. I was always into something, you know, in the Marines, they say that you're not a real Marine unless you got 3 Article 15s. Well, I got 5 while I was in.
You got 5, bro.
I got 5. Yeah. They didn't take my rank every time. They took my rank 3 times, but I got charged 5 times, and I was a smooth talker. I got out of it a couple of times, but, yeah, I lost rank 3 times, and I got out honorably. It was real close at the end, but I made it out with an honorable discharge. But yeah, so an Article 15 is kind of an inside joke amongst us veterans. It's like once they see that, they're like, oh, this guy was a joker, you know.
Oh, shoot. That's cool, man. That's awesome. Article 15. All right. So, man, that's awesome, dude. I'm trying to figure out where to go from here. Let's see. So veterans. So we're talking about veterans. So the way you came up upon this idea is so how did you come upon that idea of start performing for VFWs?
As a comedian, I'm always trying to fill my calendar. I'm always trying to get booked. And the way I was taught to do it was, you know, you got to work the circuit of comedy clubs all over the country.
Right.
And comedy clubs book on the weekend. You know, they'll bring you in for Friday, Saturday, or some of the longer ones are like Thursday through Sunday, even for a very long weekend. But there's only 52 weekends in the year. And there's like hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of comedians that are all competing for those spots, for those paid spots to headline the comedy clubs on the weekend. And it's very competitive. And I'm not a huge household name. You know, I'll admit that for sure. So I'm not at the top of a lot of lists. You know, they'd rather have somebody they've heard of or somebody that has, you know, is on Netflix right now or something like that, which I understand. So, but it's been tough and it's been very competitive. So I've just been trying to think of a way to kind of make my own lane. And I was just thinking to myself, like, man, wish I could go back out and entertain the troops again, or, you know, maybe I can find somebody that wants to do a fundraiser for veterans and get in front of my people again. And like, I just had this idea. I was like, well, maybe I could just put on a show at a VFW. That's where veterans are. And, you know, I can give a portion. And so I kind of just wrote up a little email like, hey, would you like to have a comedy night? It would bring in new people to your VFW. And, you know, you guys can keep this percentage of the ticket prices, you know, and you'll make some money. I'll make money. You'll get new faces in, possibly some new members. And I sent that out to a few VFWs around Texas. I opened up Google Maps, you know, all right, where's these VFWs? There's some in Houston or some of them. And I got like three back pretty quick. I got one back the very next day. And then over the next week, I got two more. And now all of a sudden I was like, hey, wow, this has been kind of easy. Well, nobody else is competing for those. No. And there's not a comedy club in every little town, but there's a VFW in every little town just about. So I'm just like, pa-ching, like jackpot, like the light bulb went off. And I'm like, all right, well, you know, maybe I can do some work this way. And it's a great thing. It's bringing veterans together. We're raising awareness for all of our stuff. I get to meet other veterans. I've got some sponsors now from veteran-owned businesses that want to sponsor the tour. So we're sponsored by, it's called Bulkhead Energy Drink. And it's not just a regular energy drink. It has nootropics in it, which is like one of these cool new health things. You hear about it on the Joe Rogan podcast. That's what I heard about it. But, it's actually a really good drink. There's those. We'll have those available at the shows. There's a couple more that I'm in negotiation with. I wish I could talk about them because I'm super excited about it. But cool. That's something that we're interested in too, is helping to promote veteran-owned businesses. You know, so if there's a veteran out there, you have a business, maybe you want to help us out and get involved. We could help each other. We'll spread awareness of your product. And that's what we want to do, is promote veteran-owned businesses, nonprofits, anything that helps veterans. That's what we're all about. And that's what we're trying to do. And, you know, I'm just using what I have in my arsenal, which is comedy. And I'm a firm believer that laughter is the best medicine, because, you know, if you're going through like a depression, if you've been through some traumas and, you know, maybe you've lost some people, there's all kinds of reasons that people get kind of down in the dumps, you know, especially these days. You don't have to be a veteran to understand that. But if you're going through something like that, man, I dare you. I dare you come sit through our show and see if you don't laugh until your cheeks hurt and get those endorphins flowing through your body, and you'll have no choice but to start feeling better. And it's not, and I'm not saying like I have the magic pill. It's not just Eric Knowles. It's not just the Article 15 comedy team that can do that. Laughter in itself is really good for you. And there's science behind that. And there's been plenty of times where I'm going through something in my life and, you know, I don't feel like being funny, but I have to, because it's my job. You know, I got booked and I'm like, man, I don't even feel like it. Like, I ain't even in the right place to do this, but I get on stage and it's like, as soon as I hear that first laugh, it's like, man, all right, well, that feels pretty good. You know? And then by the end of the act, man, I have a real smile on my face that I'm not faking, you know? And I come off stage feeling good. And I'm just like, man, I have to keep doing comedy, you know, to get, there was times in my life where I'm like, all right, this is what I have to do to get through this, to really help me just be okay. Yeah.
Wow, man. There's another comedian in here, Lito Cortez. He says, what's up, fellas? And I actually found out about you through Lito Cortez. So awesome.
Hey, man. What's up, Lito?
Awesome, man.
Yeah, so, thank you for this connection.
Yes. Thanks, man. Appreciate you, Lito. So when you say you got to do it for yourself, is that because you're a veteran? Not because you're a veteran, but because you deal with veteran issues. I don't know how to word it, but how would you word, like, so is it because you are a veteran
that, man, it's just honestly, no. No, not, I don't, I'm not a combat veteran. I served in a combat zone and I was very lucky to, not, you know, have to do anything crazy. And you know, like, I didn't lose any of my brothers and sisters over there. I'm very lucky in that. But the reason that I have to do comedy is because I'm just like everybody else. And I have, gone through some things just in my regular old personal civilian life, you know. Everybody's had hard financial times. A lot of people have been through bad relationships, divorce, just letting yourself down in different personal ways, you know, not reaching your goals, all of these things, and just the stress of living in a bad economy. All of those things are hard to deal with for everybody, you know. Some of us take it better than others, but after a while, I think everybody at some point goes through a period where it's like, man, it's like it's all happening right now, you know. And if you've ever been through bad times, it seems like everything happens at once, you know, or right after another. Like one domino falls and it knocks down a whole bunch more, and the next thing you know, it's like, man, how am I going to get out of this, you know? How am I going to get back to the old happy me? You know, and people use different ways to do that. A lot of people jump into exercise, physical fitness, which is a great one. It's important. A good way to get out of depression is to help others, which is a weird one. But that's one that that's something that I'm doing, you know, that I inadvertently figured out, like, oh, I'm helping others, you know, because there's been a ton of times where I'm just doing a regular old comedy show in a bar, you know, making maybe $100 and just grinding it out. You know, this was early in my career, trying to work my way up. And I remember during some of those times where it's just, I'm kind of questioning, like, man, what's even the point? Like, I don't know if I'm ever going to make it, you know, all of that stuff. And then I have people come up to one time this lady came up to me after the show. She says, I just want to let you know how much you're helping people. And I'm like, really? Like, how? Like, she told me that today was the 1 year anniversary of her husband dying. And she had been agoraphobic, which means like she didn't
So you
all said, right, I know what today is, and you're not going to stay here being depressed, and you're coming out. I got comedy show tickets. What happened?
No, you were cutting out. You said she was agoraphobic, or what is that? What you said?
Yeah, yeah. So like, she hadn't left the house in over a year since her husband had died. She hadn't gone outside. She couldn't face the world, you know. But her sister came over and drug her out of the house, made her get dressed. She said, "No, you're going outside today. I got comedy tickets." Mm-hmm. You know, and she said it was the last thing I wanted to do. I didn't want to be out here, you know, but she said, man, once I started listening to you and I started laughing, like, she said she got this feeling that that's what her husband would have wanted for her. You know, that she realized, she realized at my comedy show during my dick and fart jokes that that's what her husband would have wanted, that her husband didn't want her to stay in and be depressed and mourn him forever. You know, that she would always love him, but that he would want her to move on with her life. And I was like, wow, you know, that hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, okay, so this does help people, you know. And ever since then, yeah, so that's when, like, it's changed in my brain from, like, all right, I'm trying to get paid, I'm trying to get laughs, to, like, all right, I'm trying to give something to people, some of this medicine. This nature's best medicine, this laughter, man, this. And I really started considering myself to be like a medicine man, you know, which sounds a little, egotistical, but that's kind of what it is.
Yeah.
You know, I'm making people feel better.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps me going.
Yeah, man. Society needs it. Society needs laughter. I mean, imagine a society without laughter, bro, or without jokes. Like, it would be boring.
Oh man. Yeah. It'd be terrible.
It'd be bad. Michael Sanchez says you're underrated, bro. He says wait till the rest of the country finds out what y'all know and that you're hilarious.
He's just trying to suck up now. No, thank you, Michael. Thank you, man.
Dude, man, yeah, we definitely need this stuff, man. And I could see, wow, dude. And just talking about this, it makes me think about the veterans that really struggle, bro. Like that have actually, like, seen combat, and like you're saying, and like it, and it's just like, you know, and they have to, and some of them choose, like, suicide, bro. It's like, damn, what are the other options? Like, do they really seem like they have, like, no other option, bro? Like, how can
there's a lot of moving parts there. They feel, and I know this just from talking to them and working with them. I worked with, I had a DOD contract for 2 years with the Air Force Wounded Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to a bunch of them, and, you know, they have post-traumatic stress disorder from the things that they've seen and done. And some of them have what's called survivor's guilt, where they lost a lot of their friends, you know, like we watch movies about war, and the good guy sometimes is like the only guy left alive, you know, and it's like, wow, man, that dude's badass or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But the reality of when that happens is, like, that dude lost all of his best friends. Like, they don't understand that, like, when we're in war together, when you're deployed with people and you spend every day and all day and all night with those people, they really become your brothers. Mm-hmm. Like, war is 90% boredom with 10% extreme fear, you know, just crazy stuff happening. And during that 90% of boredom, like, all we do is sit around and wait, and there's nothing to do a lot of times. And we just tell each other, we tell every story that we have literally like to each other. Like, man, I remember this time, one time when I was a kid, blah, blah, blah. You know, I had this girlfriend one time, blah, blah, blah.
No.
You know, we know everything about those dudes, and they know everything about us, just like a real, real brother. So when you survive combat and somebody else doesn't, it's like you left them out there. That's how it feels like in your heart to these guys. You know, yeah, man. I mean, it's real, real deep. And it really sucks. And to a lot of them, they feel like nobody understands. Even the doctors at the VA, you know, it just doesn't connect.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I encourage veterans to reach out to your brothers. You know, we got to do buddy checks, you know, and we're getting good at that. We're getting more diligent about that. And it's becoming, there's always kind of been this stigma of like, just be a man and just don't say nothing to nobody and don't talk about it and you bottle it up, you know.
Mm.
And we got to get away from that. We have to, because we're dropping dead at 22 a day, man. We have to, it's not working.
It's not working. Something's not jiving.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So, man. So,
you know, but there are other issues just besides that, that veterans go through. Mm-hmm. Just the transition alone. There needs to be a lot more done to bridge the gap from soldier to civilian. Just that there needs to be transition assistance, because mm-hmm. it's like you live this life in the military and then all of a sudden it's over. Mm-hmm. One day you sign the last piece of paper, you sign that DD-214, and one day you walk out the gate for the last time. And then it's just like you're trying to blend in, mm-hmm. trying to fake the funk for a while into civilian life again. And that's really hard on a lot of guys. We miss it, you know. We miss wow. being in. We miss the suck, you mm. know. Like when we were in, it sucked. Mm. But you learn. There's a phrase in the Marines called "embrace the suck." It's like you learn to love it. It's weird. It's like we're trauma bonded.
Yeah,
you know. So it really like, is.
It's almost as shocking leaving as it is entering.
Yeah, more so even. Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely. Wow,
I can't imagine. Man, I could imagine that. I can't imagine that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And you went, and so if you're going at an early age, bro, you hadn't even seen much up until that point, you know? And then the initial
exactly.
shock. Wow.
And like, you know, a lot of guys were like me, where my dad wasn't really around a lot, mm. especially, you know, in my teenage years and in my formative years. So I never really had a male role model when I needed it, when I was really forming my adult personality.
Right.
So it's like, I feel like my daddy was the Marine Corps. My daddy was those drill instructors, you know, they were the people who taught me to shave and how to stand up straight and how to be a man.
Yeah.
You know?
It makes me think about your jokes, man. About the stamp in your clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's yeah.
funny, bro. And you're learning that for the first time. You're like, what the heck is it? Then, oh, man.
Dude, it was crazy to me. Yeah, yeah, it was wild. I was like, what am I into, man?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah. after a little while, I loved it. I was like, hell yeah, man. I'm in it together, at least, with, like, these dudes, you know?
Yeah, bro. That's funny, bro. Wow. We got another Semper Fi Marine Corps guy in here. He's on the 50 States of Terror podcast. We had him on the show one time.
And he says, right on.
Semper Fi.
Super Fi, brother.
Awesome, man. Dude, that's freaking awesome. I mean, it's awesome, like, the camaraderie, you know, thinking about the camaraderie that you have with others, you know what I mean? And then it's even, like, even more heart-wrenching to know, like, the story you were telling me earlier, that you could just lose them like that, and then you're out of the army, out of the service,
yep.
and golly, bro, man, I can imagine how mentally damaging it can be to a person.
Yeah, and, man. It really is. It messes with your head, because it's like my very, very best friend in the Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I know he's out there somewhere. I can't mm-hmm. find him. You know, he dropped off. He don't get on Facebook. You know, he was always too cool for that kind of stuff. And like, I just lost track of him. He's gone in the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that a lot of military veterans can relate to. It's like, man, every now and then I'll remember one of those guys and be like, oh yeah, like that dude, what is he up to? You know, like I'd love to know, like, did he make it? Is he in jail? Like,
yeah. And it's cool too. Like when you think about that you have dudes from different parts of the country, you know, and, yeah. and you get to learn like they're like how they are in that
yeah.
part of the country. Yeah. That's cool, man.
Yeah, man. It really is. Like, you know, I had friends from Ohio, so I learned about Skyline Chili. I'd never heard of that. Apparently that's a big thing out there. I had a lot of Latino friends in the military, which I guess is, I don't know. And now it's like I still do with Michael Sanchez and Orlando Villarreal, you know.
Lito Cortez, right?
Lito Cortez, yeah. I like how you say Lito. I thought his name was Lito.
No, it's Lito.
Michael has a group, and he used to have a podcast called Los Comedy Compadres, you know.
No, okay.
And it was all of the Latino comedians from the Houston area.
Mm.
And, like, we hit it off and made friends. And then I went on his podcast, and they let me know, like, I was the first, like, white dude on their podcast and on their shows. So I'm like a – like, what do they call me? I'm like an honorary compadre, you know. And I'm like, all right, that's cool.
Yeah, he lives in the neighborhood. We got to accept. He's acceptable.
Yeah. I got the pass for some reason.
You got the pass.
Yeah.
Oh shoot, that's funny, man. Golly, well, thank you for coming on, man. Let me see what else we got here. So Article 15. You guys are gonna be in Cal Allen at the VFW, and I'll leave links on the bottom of this post, and so you can check it out.
Cool.
Tickets
are going.
Go ahead.
All right. Yeah. So, yeah, tickets are already starting to get bought. You don't want to get left out. I've got it at 200, capped at 200. So once we get to 200 tickets, I'm probably going to cut it off unless I talk to the VFW and see how many chairs they got and all of that. But so go ahead and get your tickets now. You can get them on article15comedy.com and just click at the top on the tours page, and you can see our tour. And each town that we're going to be in, just click on, I think it's under Corpus Christi or Cal Allen. You'll see it there. But if you're listening from elsewhere, we're also going to be, check out our tour. We're going to be in Houston. We're in Waco area, Austin area, Georgetown, Victoria, Tomball, mm-hmm. Pearland, Lufkin. Yeah, we're in talks with Tyler. And there's a second one in Houston wants us to come back and do a second one.
Oh, Houston's huge, bro.
Yeah, so maybe we can do two in Houston and kind of spread them out. We have one in October in Houston. So we could come back in December or January. But I expect the tour to keep growing. So I would advise people to keep an eye on Article 15 Comedy and check out our website every now and then. Follow us on our Facebook page. You can follow us on Instagram. Both of those at Article 15 Comedy. And you might want to get in early because you're going to watch us grow all the way. And I have a feeling that this thing's going to get really, really big.
That's going to be awesome. That's awesome.
Probably going nationwide. Yeah.
Hell yeah, man. Dude, that's awesome. Yeah. You're bringing comedy. Dude, what I like about it is you're bringing comedy, of course. Everybody likes, we like comedy, but you're doing it for a specific purpose, man. That's what I like about it. I mean, you know,
that's right. And it's really special for the Corpus listeners, because you're going to be our first show. You know, you get to kind of set the bar for us. So I'd really love to see the people of Corpus Christi show up and show out for their veterans. And if you just want to do it for a selfish reason, come on, because it's going to be a funny, hilarious show. A comedy night is a perfect date night.
Nice. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time we go out of town, man, my wife and I, we go see some kind of comedy somewhere, man. Right, it's on. Awesome, dude. Yeah. So anything else before you take off, man?
No, I think that's it. Yeah. I got to get ready and go. I got two shows tonight.
Dude. Heck yeah, man. Do good, man.
All right. Well thanks, brother. Else,
yeah. Thanks a lot. You guys have a good one. Thanks for tuning in. You guys, everybody in the live stream, stay tuned for the next episode, but check out Article 15 Comedy. And you got it, man. Thanks a lot, man. Have a good one.
You bet, brother.